Welcome to the Sermon Podcast of Redemption Church. The following sermon is by our pastoral resident, Scotty Miser.
So as I said, we'll be looking over the last words of Jesus these next 7 weeks. And this week we're looking at, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. This phrase, I think, is included in the Gospels to teach us something. Because obviously Jesus didn't have to say anything from the cross. Jesus didn't have to. No one would have begrudged him for taking a break from his teaching while he was on the cross. But for whatever reason, we have these seven phrases canonized in Scripture, and I think this one in particular is included to teach us something about forgiveness, about the way we are meant to think of it, and about the way God thinks of us. Because this way, and I want to go into it, but this phrase disrupts the way I normally think about forgiveness. And I think the way a lot of us think about forgiveness. I think for a lot of us, forgiveness might be one of our least favorite topics to kind of get into. Is anyone hearing like me saying like, oh boy, he's preaching a sermon on forgiveness, and you're kind of like, okay, all right. Like, is anyone just a little weary of the topic? I think forgiveness can be a really discouraging thing to think about. And I had to check myself as I was looking at this passage of why is the topic of forgiveness so tiring even to think about sometimes? I think the thing that discourages us from forgiveness is that we think the primary focus is on human shortcomings. What I mean is this. I mean, when we think about forgiveness, either we get caught up on that person is too bad, and therefore I can't forgive them, or I am still too hurt, and therefore I can't forgive them. We get caught up in that person's too bad, or I am still hurt, and therefore forgiveness can't happen. We get caught up in this, the horizontal movement between our human relationships, between you and me, and that is always going to be fraught with antagonism and mistakes. And so forgiveness, if I'm relying on my own strength, if I'm relying on your own strength, is absolutely an exhausting possibility. But Jesus, here on the cross, does not say to his oppressors, I forgive you. He could. He absolutely could have said that. What Jesus says is, Father, forgive them. What Jesus does with this phrase is he triangulates forgiveness. It's no longer strictly horizontal. It brings a third person in. It outsources forgiveness, in a sense, to the Father. Father, forgive. So if you get nothing else, just get that mental image of God dropping in on our broken relationships. And if you're ever in the midst of your own forgiveness process, and you're wondering, what does God's forgiveness look like? It's not about covering up pain. It's not about covering up wrongdoing. What it's about is healing. My phrase tonight that I want you to hold on to as you think about this triangle is God's forgiveness heals. God's forgiveness heals. So if you're unsure of whether your forgiveness is actually patterned after God's, ask yourself, does it heal? Is this bringing further wholeness or further brokenness? First point I want to make really briefly about God's forgiveness. God's forgiveness recognizes sin. God's forgiveness recognizes sin. And I think this gets at one of our most common objectives to forgiveness. I think that it minimizes sin. A lot of times the way I think about forgiveness is that I have to ignore the reality or consequences of someone else's mistake. I just have to act like that hasn't happened. But I think when we ignore the reality and consequences of pain in our friends, that's actually bad forgiveness. I think when we ignore pain, that is bad forgiveness. That is not healing forgiveness. It's not healing. It's covering up a symptom and hope that me and my enemy both forget about it. But if God's forgiveness heals, it means that it has to first recognize a sickness. It recognizes that there's something in this that's broken. But once the thing is named as broken, that's when the magic can really start to happen. When we acknowledge the pain, when we acknowledge the brokenness, what this model that Jesus puts forward says is that forgiveness, God's healing forgiveness, can start to happen at a rate that, frankly, is alarming. God's forgiveness can begin to heal at an alarming rate. And that's the second point I want to make, is that God's forgiveness is quick. I know that we've read, probably a lot of us have read the passage in Scripture that says, be quick to forgive. But the quickness of Christ's forgiveness here is frankly mind-boggling. Because Jesus isn't praying in the past tense. And this is where I really want to focus tonight, guys, is that Jesus is not saying, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they did. And he's not saying, Father, forgive them, for they didn't know what they were doing. He's saying, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing currently. Christ is praying for the forgiveness of his enemies while they are still actively hurting him. He does not wait for the pain to stop, for forgiveness to begin. So this shows me that in this model, God's forgiveness actually starts before our repentance. As I said, this is a radical model for forgiveness, and it's if you were hoping that I was going to make forgiveness seem less exhausting by putting that forward, that probably just feels like another thing I'm piling on you. It's like, oh, Scotty, now I don't just have to forgive people who have done wrong to me, I have to forgive people while they're doing wrong to me. But how good is this news if we think of it not merely as you and I relate, but if we think of it as God relates to you and I? This triangulation, it allows us to bring forgiveness into present pain, not merely pain that is past. Here's what I mean. This means I don't just have to pray about my mistakes. So let's just talk about mine. About my mistakes in the past tense. I don't have to even just pray about the mistakes I recognize. Sometimes I might be able to pray, Father, forgive me, for I do not know what I am doing. Father, forgive me, for I do not know what I am doing. I can cry out to God in the middle of my sin. I can cry out to God when I don't want to change. I can start that process of forgiveness. I can start that healing right away. And of course, what do you think is going to happen if I start praying to God in the middle of my sin? Father, forgive me, for I don't know what I'm doing. It's probably going to make the sin a little less fun, right? Like, it's probably going to pull me out of it a little bit. And that's when repentance starts, and that's when healing starts. But it starts with, Father, forgive me, for I don't know what I am doing. What Father, forgive also does is it creates a compassion for our enemies. It creates an empathy for my enemies, even if for healing's sake, it has to be a distant compassion. So that's what forgiveness would have to mean if it were just about you and me, right? Like, we would have to be good. We would have to be close, and we would have to come together. But Father, forgive. Father, forgive means I'm not praying for that person to necessarily be restored to me. I'm no longer judge. I give up my power, and I pray that person, that situation, that hurt is restored to God. So the other prayer that this might awaken in us is, Father, forgive them, because right now I can't. Father, forgive them, because right now I can't. And I can do all this if I truly believe that I'm not merely moving words around so that I'll feel better or my enemies will feel better. I can do this if I believe that God's forgiveness heals. If I believe that this is a real thing God is actively doing, then I can enter in fearlessly. So I passed out those pieces of paper, and if you still have your pens, I want you to take a minute, because forgiveness is intensely relational, and because of that, it's incredibly personal. So I don't actually know what forgiveness has to look like for you this week. But think about this. What do you need to forgive in yourself or in others this coming week? What does Father forgive sound like right now? What's some pain that you've left untouched for a while because you didn't think it could be healed? God sees, and God's forgiveness heals. One last point I want to hit on. God's forgiveness, it doesn't just cover the offender. God's forgiveness covers the forgiver. What I mean is this, when God is brought into the equation, it actually releases me from the pressure to forgive perfectly. I think you guys have probably, like, as you're training for new jobs, as I am right now, you probably know that feeling of being given a new task and not quite sure how to handle it. Like, when I'm tutoring high school kids, I hope the high school kids aren't listening to this podcast right now, but frankly, it can terrify me. Like, I'm getting up and I'm saying, okay, I have to communicate the inner workings of the reading comprehension SAT to these kids, and I don't know if I'm gonna hit all the points that I need to. But if I'm there with my employer, if I'm there with my co-teacher, with my boss, Anthony, I know he's going to pick up the points that I drop. I know he's going to pick up my slack. And that's the same thing when it comes to including God in our forgiveness process. When God is brought into the equation, when God is in the room, it is no longer just about you or me. And that means neither one of us have to get it perfect. And thank God, because we weren't going to anyway. When God is in the room, it releases us from the pressure to forgive perfectly, because I know I won't. And if I think I have to, I'll probably decide it's easier not to try. But if I believe that God's forgiveness can begin even when I'm not ready to forgive, if I believe God's forgiveness can begin to heal me of my sin before I'm ready to stop sinning, if I can invite God into whatever pain I have, I can do that with the faith that His goodness, His readiness, His forgiveness heals. If we believe that God's forgiveness can begin during the process of Christ's crucifixion, where do we think it's not able to enter? If it can start there, what place do we think is too dark? What pain are we holding on to so tightly that we think God's forgiveness cannot heal? It heals, everyone. It heals. And it's free, and it's here, and it's working. The good news, then, and I think I've been hitting on a little bit already, is that this forgiveness starts in the cross, but the story doesn't end at the cross. So if we believed that people were just screwed up and the world was merely getting worse all the time and everything was just going to stay that way, I think forgiveness would just kind of be a kind of defeat, right? It's just like, oh, well, things are bad. No point feeling bad about it. Things are just bad. But because we believe that God's forgiveness is truly slowly healing the world around us, we don't believe that forgiveness is defeat. Actually, when we forgive, we're declaring victory. When we forgive, we're declaring that we know how the story ends, and it doesn't end in death, it ends in new life. Forgiveness deflates this pain. It deflates the power of this pain to define us. So as we enter into Lent, we'll be focusing a lot on the cross. We'll be focusing a lot on death and what God's grace means in that. But as we enter this season, hold resurrection in the back of your mind. Hold resurrection in the back of your mind. This isn't just suffering for suffering's sake. Any difficulty we're brought through, any forgiveness we're asked to undertake, we do so with the knowledge that it ends in new life. It ends in resurrection, because God heals.
To find out more about Redemption Church, visit redemptionbristol.org.